Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Spindly Opinion says the UFC event was great. The French crowd got really into it. Val says the crowd was into it. Maybe all these years of interdiction pent up. Bisping said he had never seen something like this. Don't know if he's hyperbolic. The systematic booing of the non-French fighter was a bit cringe, though. A tad too footballistic. Okay, I didn't know that there was a UFC today in France. Interesting. I may be watching it later, but I've not been super fascinated at the French fighters. I don't know why. I don't feel like them. I don't identify with them, and that's it. That's why I've never been quite attracted to follow them. But if you tell me that it was an exceptional event, I might watch it. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Boy finds giant earthworm in his backyard. The earthworm is like, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet long.
To convince my dad to keep it in a place.
Maybe not. Maybe like 3 feet long. Wow, New Zealand, what have you done? Is that what the vaccine does? Eventually, it gets in nature and it boosts these earthworms. How long did this earthworm live? Maybe he has a genetic defect that kind of he forgets to die. Maybe he's maybe the earthworm is a million year old. I don't know. We should definitely do research on this worm and see what happened. This is not an argument. Says JF is anti-Gallic. Gallic. I'm not anti-Gallic, but you will notice that the French fighters in the UFC don't quite come from Gaul. Mama JF has Gaul genetics. The French fighters in the UFC, I don't think so. Beautiful art piece of a human cranium with a butterfly playing the role of the eye right here with the kind of deceptive false eye being placed so that you believe it's a real eye. Quite amazing. It reminds me of Terminator. Reminds me of the Terminator cranium with the red eye in it. All right. Bird Flu C. Williams says it's not a worm, it's a giant telomere. Okay, that's one view of this. Bird Flu says GSP, though. Yeah, GSP, but GSP is not a French from France. Now, when there were Quebecois fighters, that was awesome. And I was highly admirative of GSP. But the Quebecois fighters, I haven't heard many. There was Côté at some point. There was GSP. They made their way into the higher leagues, but I've not heard of a recent Quebecois fighter who would be of that level. Breaking, Chris Ray's GSP is, Ariel Suarez is asking, who is that? GSP is Georges St-Pierre, the greatest fighter, in my view, of MMA, of his era, if not of all eras. I think he was really great. I really love this style. And it was back in the days where ground domination was very rewarded. Whereas in the current times, I feel that there's so much defense training against the groundwork that the groundworkers still dominate and they can win matches, but it's more like imposing your weight and keeping the other down. Whereas back in the days, people were so untrained at jiu-jitsu defense and wrestling that Georges St-Pierre would just drop on the floor, pass to the side, pass to full mount. It was more easy to see good action on the floor. And paradoxically, it was that way probably because people didn't get as much training and they were coming to the ring with less knowledge on how to stop the progression. Chris Ray's FBI arrests Kelly Sorrell attorney for Oathkeepers founder Stuart Rhodes less than 1 week after she secretly agreed to to testify for Rhodes. What is happening with the American justice system that we're arresting lawyers, attorneys that are attorneys of the wrong people? We've seen also the professional orders being used, like some attorney wanting to defend something related to January 6th or to election fraud, and them being asked to lose their bar status because they participated to this. I thought that the American system was all about everyone has the right to an attorney. It doesn't matter how ridiculous your argument is. The attorney is responsible to serve the customer, the client. Anyways, in that case, I don't know why they arrested her, but it's not looking good for due process in the American system. Spindly Opinion says, Rory McDonald. I'm not certain which part of Canada he was from. Rory McDonald, I remember that name. John Drake says, that was H. Gracie. He beat opponents 100 pounds heavier because they couldn't wrestle. Yeah, those were beautiful days where we could see this kind of clash. Today, with the weight classes and the hyper-training of everyone, we see evened out fighters. We see a lot of the game has switched toward punching and kickboxing. Even kickboxing, you know, it's rare that you'll end up seeing a beautiful head kick. Or it's rare that you'll end up seeing someone winning with Thai kicks to the head, to the legs. And to me, MMA was all about this diversity. It was all about the ultimate tournament to which different specialists were headed to test specialties against one another. These days, it's becoming a punch game with a little plus that, oh, maybe he's going to take him down. Spindly Opinion says, no one understood how to defend Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at the start of MMA. Exactly. That's why it was beautiful. The game has lost some interest to me. If you would like to support the show, send a super chat using Odyssey. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. All you have to do is use the dollar button under the chat. Make sure that you have a payment method added to your Odyssey account. Alternatively, you can use Entropy. And since today is an Ask Me Anything, you can also join me by voice on the show. If you would like to appear on the show, join the waiting room in the Discord server. The Discord link is in the description below. Click on the waiting room to your left. And when I see you, I will be sliding you in so that we can talk to you. I'm just checking my audio settings to make sure that everything is in place. Okay, test input device, cable B, output device. Hello. All right, that should work. All right. Magpie sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, my recommendations from today's viewings at the cinema, An Kailan Kiyun. Best film I've seen in years. Perfectly crafted. Black Bird, so bad it's great. And Compartiment Tueur, a fast-paced and humorous old film. A nice surprise. Okay, I will keep those in mind, but it, An Kailan Kiyun seems like an Asian movie. Let me put it in my bookmark here. Now, what have I been watching? The Bill Murray movie that was recommended to me. Bill Murray movie with a gopher. It's Caddyshack. I've watched Caddyshack with Mama JF. It's not super good. It's old humor. I've been told, JF, watch this. It's the best of Bill Murray. Ah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's annoying. It seems like a perverted movie about the little girl that gets all kinds of sex, and then it's a mix of humor of the kind like very 80s, very even 70s in terms of humor. I personally, it's too old for me to laugh. It's not fine enough. There's the character in there, the guy who plays the father in Natural Born Killer, Dangerfield. He's kind of overdoing it, and he's good at what he's doing. But it's, oh, I'm an annoying guy on a golf course. Okay. It's old humor. I just don't like it. And as far as Pawn Sacrifice, which was also recommended by Super Chat, I haven't gotten to it yet. Bird Flu says Rodney Dangerfield farting at the dinner table, though who stepped on a duck? Yeah, I mean, it's that kind of humor. I can't find interesting a movie about fart jokes and about Dangerfield calling all the old people in this movie already dead, and it's okay, he lacks class, we got it. And then the judge and the niece of the judge has sex with everyone. And the characters are so poorly defined that at some point I was like, who is she having sex with? Is that the guy that had sex with the other girl? It's very painful. It really was a time when the visuals and the scripting were not properly defining single characters and giving them features so that they're recognizable. And so I'm totally lost when I watch the movie. I cannot be interested. And then there's the whole parallel story of Bill Murray trying to kill an animal that lives under the ground with explosives. I don't know. I will never like this kind of movie. Woke NASA is set for another failure. They had already canceled their launch, which was a couple of days ago. They had another try today for Artemis 1, which is the rocket that is supposed to bring the first woman and the first black person to the moon. Another failure today. A gas leak showed up and they have canceled the launch again. Maybe it's because there's not enough LGBT employees involved in the making. Perhaps it's a lack of diversity here. Maybe more diversity could fix it. That was the hypothesis that some people were generating on Gab. Artemis launch director Charlie Blackwell Thompson scrapped the mission of the massive moon rocket after a liquid hydrogen leak was detected. The liquid hydrogen leak was found in the quick disconnect of the supply that feeds the Space Launch System's core stage. NASA attempted to fix the leak but was unsuccessful. Good luck. Good luck to the people who will be on this rocket. I just don't trust modern society to make calculations properly. Personally, I wouldn't go on the rocket. Luke Bell's family says the singer struggled with mental illness before his death at 32. We are heartbroken. So apparently, this country singer, he has lost his father and he was depressed since then. Since his father's death in 2015, and he's gone missing for a while, and I think they eventually found his body, and it looks like he committed suicide. I don't know about country music. I don't know anything about it. I don't want anything smart, aka centrally controlled. Smart thermostat locks customers out. Declares energy emergency. Look at what some people got on their as a message in Colorado for their heating system. Temperature locked temporarily during energy emergency. Due to a rare energy emergency that may affect the local energy grid, your temperature slider has been changed from 8 p.m. to 8 p.m. because you enrolled in a community energy savings program. To opt out, contact Xcel Energy Central at. Holy shit, I wouldn't want to not have control of what happens in my house because some government agent has decided it was an emergency, because we've seen with COVID that they have the emergency appellation easy. Quite. Sends $21. He says, Jeff, 2 weeks ago you said you didn't like dealing with cashiers because they ask you annoying questions all the time, like what is the difference between a fucking green Swiss chard and a fennel? Jeff, why is it annoying to be asked the same questions over and over again? You've asked me this question, but I'm not annoyed because every time you ask me this question, you combine it with a super chat, and that eases the thing. See, I think you found a solution. I'm willing to engage with cashiers instead of the self-serve exit at Walmart, but the cashier must super chat me as we speak. Kate Cat says, Hi, JF and everyone. Welcome to the show, Kate Cat. How are you doing? Exorbitant rise in energy prices forces Europe's top steelmaker to close plants. We are in the slippery slope of the effects of Vladimir Putin and also the decisions of the Western governments. All combined to crush the energy market. And imagine holding these big pots of fusioned metal. I mean, you cannot run this on high energy cost. So they are closing. So we will have the whole downstream effect. We don't know still what it will look like, but it's going to be massive. Germany, the whole idea of Europe was living on the productivity of Germany. Germany will be losing its status as an industrial power. This is what we're looking at. Lendald says, we still have failed to master the feminine turbulent flows, they will insist. We still don't know exactly what happens when a woman puts her feet onto the moon. Maybe it's different. John Podesta is back in the news. This is amazing because I thought this guy had been canceled on the basis of so much dirt that was found on him. He was organizing some dirty activities for the Democrats across years, and all of it was revealed by WikiLeaks. And there were some bizarre emails in that set. There were emails about, oh yeah, Anchor Chief, code language of some kind, which led people to speculate that they were pedos, basically. And John Podesta, on top of it, has been exposed for having an interest in an artist that draws literally pedo painting. So why would you want this guy around? Well, it's because this guy is one of the guys with the most power, and he's always in charge for the Democrat administrations. He's always in charge of making sure that the people who donate to Democrats get rewarded with power and positions within the government. That's why his position was very important as the chief of staff. And when we get the chief of staff with Trump or the Republicans in general, we don't do what this guy does. This guy makes sure if you want a job within the administration, you must be a donor. You must have been bringing tens of thousands of dollars to our super PACs and our party. This is the man of corruption in the Democrats. Now, he's been placed at a place where his specialty of corruption will be quite useful. Climate action. So this person, Jenna McCarthy, is gone from the climate action position, and it's going to be John Podesta now. So you can expect that the whole federal workforce will be filled with high-level controllers that are totally in line with the Democrats, that will be rewarded for their donation to the Democrat Party. That is what John Podesta does. That's why I expect him to continue. And Rick Paul Graham on Gab says, sexy bisexual cannibal? Lol, what the fuck? Timothée Chalamet. Sexy bisexual cannibal stuns Venice. Bones and all. Gets 8.5 minutes standing ovation. But, oh my god. A bisexual man playing a cannibal. Lives up to its title. Call Me By Your Name lives up to its title with gory attacks and scenes that involve limb chewing and eating. The film received the 8.5-minute standing ovation, the longest and most enthusiastic of the festival so far. Oh my god, this is so moving. A cannibal. Imagine 8 minutes. I've only done 30 seconds, and I'm already tired of uploading. I think that this film festival at this point is just launching messages, just sending messages to society, like, this is what you have to love. Look, I'm open to a cannibal movie. I'm not saying that it's inherently wrong to have a movie about cannibalism, but something tells me that it's not going to be very profound, and there's a whole bisexual angle to it. I'm kind of curious what they've done with this, but at the same time, I can imagine, and It's the whole idea. We're going to the moon with a woman. We're doing Lord of the Rings with a black person. We're doing cannibalism on film with a bisexual. That's all that our generation will have accomplished. U.S. government seized over 11,000 non-classified documents from Trump's home. FBI agents seize these documents and photographs without classified markings from the home of former President Donald Trump. According to an inventory released, they also took 103 documents marked classified, including some marked top secret. So as I was talking about a couple of days ago, it looks like we were talking about the vast, vast majority of the documents taken are not classified, and so they don't address the goal of this seizure. And I think it's due to the overwhelmingly broad order that the judge gave, which is very rare for this kind of instance. So normally, a judge gives an order, you go get this document that has this marking, but here the judge said, take any documents that are classified, any documents that are stored in the same place as the documents that are classified, and any document that could be somehow related. It doesn't end. At this point, you're a policeman, you're the FBI, you're like, okay, well, I found all of this in a room, so let's take all of them. John Drake says, Eugene Levy played this 50 years ago in Cannibal Girls. I don't remember awards or praise. Okay. We have people who are very aware, very informed on cannibal movies. I'm not. Magpie sends a super chat. Thank you so much. She says, or he says, I don't know. Also, be wary of the new Hollywood film, The Forgiven. Spoilers. Let the European man sacrifice himself and be replaced by dangerous cultural fossils while his wife gets pounded with American influence. Okay, I haven't heard of this movie. I may have a look. But yeah, movies are totally over. There's just too much moralism that has penetrated the movies. We cannot produce good ones anymore in this context. These are the most popular fast food brands in America. Okay, what does it look like? So we have Chick-fil-A. We have Chick-fil-A dominating the chicken. McDo dominating the burgers. Subway kind of dominating the sandwiches. Taco Bell dominating the global. Starbucks dominating the snacks. And we have Pizza Hut, Papa John, Domino. Chipotle is here. Dunkin' is here. And the small burgers, Wendy's, Burger King. Oh my God, Burger King. To me, it's stunning how it survives. I've never been satisfied with Burger King. Sonic, Jack, I don't know about these. Five Guys is here. KFC, Popeyes. Clearly, there is a dominant burger place. It is McDo. There is a dominant coffee place. It is Starbucks. And there's kind of a domination. Is that Chick-fil-A? Or no, is that Popeyes? I'm not sure. What logo is that? It might be something else. No, Popeyes is here. I'm sure someone on the regular chat will know what is this logo. Chick-fil-A may be here. This is mysterious to me. I've not been in the US for too long. I cannot even recognize this logo. It's Chick-fil-A. Firestarter says Chick-fil-A. Okay. This is a massive speech by Putin. The economy of imaginary wealth is being inevitably replaced by the economy of real and hard assets. His strategy is clear: sticky inflation, higher real rates needed, paying for hyper-financialized economies.
В условиях инфляционной бури у многих развивающихся стран возникает резонный вопрос: а зачем?
He says, why bother exchanging goods for dollars and euros when they are losing value right before our eyes? The economy of imaginary wealth is being inevitably replaced by the economy of real valuables and hard assets. It will be the great age of you got gasoline, you got true stuff. You can leverage this stuff because people want it. I'm super happy that we're entering this part of the economy because I think that the economy has become unreal and there are people benefiting from the unreal status of the economy, the imaginary status. And there is no function for an hyper-financialized world, other than some people enriching themselves at the expense of others in a way that is not creative. So yes, we have to reconnect with the base level of the things that people want is what should have value. And I'm happy that Russia will be kind of carrying that flag forward because it means a lot of hurt for Western Europe, America, because they've been benefiting from the fact that the USD has been a reserve of value, and they've been printing it to attribute value, this imaginary value to themselves. And so people will have to find parallel ways to function that do not rely on what has been exploited against us. A pilot was circling Mississippi City, threatening this morning to crash a plane into Walmart. I don't know what's wrong with these guys who threaten that kind of thing. Because if you threaten this, you're not going to do it. If you threaten this, the Walmart will be evacuated, and by the time you crash into the Walmart, the guy was flying on his plane and making these threats to the police. By the time you crash into the Walmart, there will be no one left, and so you're going to be the only one who dies. Anyways, somehow this guy was not totally convinced that he wanted to do it, and so he called the police. He called himself into the police while flying, and somehow they convinced him to land in a field peacefully, and they have arrested him. Maybe he landed or kind of crashed, it's not clear, but in any case, it's been said that they had captured him. So that is what was happening this morning. The pandemic did this. New York Times fails a fact check. Yesterday, September 1st, the New York Times had a front page story entitled "The Pandemic Erased Two Decades of Progress in Math and Reading." The first paragraph states that national test results released on Thursday showed in stark terms the pandemic's devastating effects on American school children, with the performance of 9-year-olds in math and reading dropping to the levels from two decades ago. Further down, the article says, "Then came the pandemic, which shuttered schools across the country." Of course, what this article is saying is this is not the pandemic. This is an effect of political obfuscation of business rights and individual rights. I agree. The pandemic in and of itself would have basically no impact on the youth if we hadn't decided to make it so. "This is not an argument," says Matt, "is racist, therefore COVID was good." I think you are at two levels of logical errors here. Gina Carano's Twitter account is gone after getting swarmed over the My Son Hunter movie. Oh, I didn't know, but this... So Gina Carano is this actress who got canceled by Hollywood for being conservative. And there's... I didn't know, but she plays in the movie My Son Hunter. This is getting more and more interesting by the day, this upcoming movie. But now the Twitterettes have been going after her, and her Twitter account is gone. "Just because Carano's account is deleted does not necessarily mean the actress did it herself. Accounts can be deleted wholesale by Twitter, although this happens rarely." Okay, so we still don't have a clear explanation of what happened, but it looks like a self-deletion, at least. "Sure sounds higher than 5%, says Elon Musk. Elon Musk quips as report says that 80% of Twitter accounts are fake. I think 80 is probably an exaggeration, but of course those are numbers that play within the Musk strategy. Some guy released, Dan Woods, global head of cybersecurity provider F5's intelligence, where he keeps an eye on bot traffic. He has studied Twitter, and he claims that up to 80% of the traffic on Twitter is bots. Musk noted that it sounds like more than 5%. So I don't know if that kind of argument will be reused by Musk in the legal case. But Twitter is looking worse and worse every day. Hopefully it crashes and stops existing. IRS mistakenly published confidential info of 120,000 taxpayers. So there's this bizarre thing about 501c3 organizations, nonprofits, you know, how nonprofits must be public, but even including like the address of the nonprofit, which I find kind of ridiculous. But the IRS made the error of taking a bunch of people who were running businesses, but businesses that are not nonprofits. And they released all of their info, their form 990T. I remember filling that kind of form when I was in the US. So they released their form 990T as if they were non-profits, but they were not. So they have doxed a bunch of 120,000 taxpayers. This looks like a hit. I mean, they say it's an error, but it looks like an error that is directed again at the entrepreneurs, at the people who have businesses. And I'm sure that there are more right-wingers in that group that got doxxed than there are left-wingers. And that sucks, because the IRS has been increasingly under attention, especially as they hire 87,000 people to go after basically the businessmen of America and the people who have small companies like me. We will be targeted, and I'm sure that that kind of leak will happen more often against us than against the leftists. Firestarter says, it is pointless to say cultural civil war because all nations are always a cultural conflict at all times. Yes, I would agree with this view. I think that there is, in the very idea of the First Amendment, there is the idea that the space of language will forever be considered non-aggression, and it's how we will resolve our differences. White sends $11. He says, Jeff, you should check out the movie The Court Jester from 1955. It might be too English for you, but I'd like to hear what you think of it. 1955, you know, my policy is any movie that has been produced before I'm born must suck. So 1955, that is a long time ago. Oh my god, and it looks like Robin Hood, Héros en Collant, you know, the parody of Robin Hood. A hapless carnival performer masquerades as the court jester as part of a plot against an evil ruler who has overthrown the rightful king. Oh, my friend, I thank you so much for your super chat, but this looks like it sucks. I'm not watching this. This looks really terrible. Really, I have zero interest. Tick, 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 tick. The city has around 20 days of fresh water left. Officials are racing to find another source. A city in New Mexico has about 20 days of fresh water left, and officials there are scrambling to find another source to prevent cancer-causing particles from flowing out of faucets. Well, that is not looking good. The resources are... The next war is the war of resources, and the question of, are you entitled to water? Like, because it's going to come to this. There's just too much people in America and elsewhere. We have overpopulated this planet, and there are people who have set up in places where water is not abundant. What will happen with this? Will you force Canada to send you all of our water? Because we have extra water. I mean, it's amazing. We have infinite water here. Me and Mama JF, we have a well. I have pumped every night all of the water needs that we've taken, including the greenhouse automated watering on an every night basis. It has never run out. We have never reached any close to the maximum that it can provide. So basically we are living on an underground lake. When is it that Papa JF will be forced to send you guys in New Mexico water bottles? And will we have a fair market price? Will we be able to charge you like $10 a water bottle? I would like to. I would like to, because I think we must incentivize and reward people choosing life places that have the resources to sustain life. and we have to punish people for establishing in deserts. Okay, it says the IRS will be weaponized against U.S. citizens for political purposes. That's what I'm afraid. Horse Bardock Gaming says, time to buy some good water filtration, ladies and gentlemen. Get yourself ready to be self-sustaining. Build a life that is not dependent on anyone but yourself. Independent people make the best neighbors. I fully agree. We had some friends today bring all their families to the greenhouse. And that was awesome because the children love harvesting. Children love the harvesting. Our potatoes, our tomatoes, they've taken a lot. And we had fruits also left over, some blackcurrant. And it's so amazing to see how these children probably are at an age, you know, where if you were to give them a tomato, they might not want to eat it. But there in the garden, they harvested themselves and they're fascinated at it. They're like, oh my God, I got a tomato. I want to eat it. It's so great. And yes, the people being set up for independent living can also be extremely generous with people who may not have set up as much. The race for the moon continues. Engine trouble led to the postponement of NASA's Artemis 1 earlier this week, but is now scheduled to launch tomorrow afternoon. Well, that is over. They have canceled this one too. As Statista's Katarina Buchholz details below, Artemis 1 will be the first of three missions that are aiming to put a person back on the moon by 2025. Not only in the US, race for the moon is starting anew as several more countries and private companies have announced lunar missions. So in 1966, Russia, 2013, China, America in 1966. And in terms of the schedule for future landing, landing of orbiters by 2023-2024 for Russia, some American landings, India, second attempt at Moon rover and lander mission in 2023, lots of American private companies and space tourism, and European Union 2025 Moon lander researching resources utilization. Okay, and is that Korea? Korea up to 2030, Lunar Robotic Lander Mission. Okay, I think that most of those will fail. I think that those are objectives and promises, but when it gets down to it, I think people are becoming increasingly stupid, and I think they're going to fail many of those. Woke NASA, that was the title at the Gateway Pundit, cancels the second attempt of Artemis launch to the moon. I've already covered this news. There was a trend on Facebook, hashtag died suddenly. And we cannot even say died suddenly anymore on Facebook. They have shadow banned, blocked the hashtag died suddenly. And look at the message, keeping our community safe. So someone searches for hashtag died suddenly. It was a private group with 103,000 members. So died suddenly news. It was just reporting about articles where the words died suddenly are appearing. And Facebook, seeing a link between this term and the expectation that this looks like people are abnormally dying at ages that we wouldn't expect them to die. Maybe it's increased attention, but maybe it's the vaccine. And so since there's a maybe it's the vaccine, Facebook has blocked the hashtag. Another thing that we cannot talk about on Facebook, the idea that people are dying unexpectedly. A recent Pew poll on white replacement. Though a majority hold neutral views, some Americans disagree on whether the declining share of white people in the US is good or bad for society. Look at the hypocrisy here. So let's look at, say, young people between ages 18 and 29. Is it good? Who say that it's good that white people are disappearing? That's very high. 14, very good. 29, say somewhat good. Now, 57 says neither good or bad. And this is where I say, no, you cannot possibly not think that it matters. You have a massive misunderstanding of the world if you think that this won't impact you in any way. And only 13% say it is somewhat bad or very bad. Now let's look at post-grad. So the more educated you are, the more happy you are about the disappearance of white people. Amazingly, I didn't know, but the Asians are actually the ones cheering the most for the disappearance of white people. Look at them at 25. The Asians are more happy than the blacks and the Hispanic that white people are disappearing. Wow. It's like secret racist. We don't hear about them. They don't yell at us. They don't display it. But the Asians are like, yeah, you know what? It's good. They are like in the dark, preparing the white replacement and enjoying it. That is so fascinating to me as a result. White people are the ones who are least likely to cheer their disappearance, but still, still, the fact that there's anyone in that category is worrying. 11% are overall thinking that it's a good thing. 26% of white people, that's a large share. 26% of white people are saying, no, it's bad that we're disappearing. Because you'd think that if you listen to CNN and you listen to the leftist propaganda, you'd think that this is a minority of neo-Nazis of 2-3%. But no, 26%, one quarter of the whites, are ready to say on the phone, no, it's bad that we're disappearing. But of course, the vast majority, neither good nor bad. And that is the hypocritical, I don't want to say it because I don't want to get in trouble. 62% don't want to talk about it. And of course, if you are a conservative, you are less likely than a liberal to cheer on the disappearance of white people. All right. So this is the status of white genocide. Still not a fully controversial proposition. Still something that a lot of people agree with. But it's not happening, remember? Horace Bardock says, tonight on Real True News, we talk about Bad Thing and Orange Man, terrible ultra-MAGA terror, and how one man's wife claims she's having conjoined pentuplets. This and more on the only government-trusted news source on the planet at 10. Did I do a good announcer voice? That is what it feels like to watch the news these days. Gates, oh my God, our beautiful wall. Remember what Trump said? We're going to have a beautiful big wall with beautiful doors. Now, they have left the gates open. See, that's why I was saying Trump made an error with these doors. You don't want to have doors, or you want to have doors always closed. But this was a case where they had to leave the doors open for fear of flooding. And it's like, are you serious that there's a flooding problem in a wall that is basically half empty already? Like, water can pass here, water can pass here. Not mentioning all of the little holes and micro holes in which water can pass. Do you really think that opening a door that is vertically lined like this with openings throughout is going to help your flooding situation in any way? But somehow they had left it open and then they forgot to close it. Typical American federal government here under the leadership of liberals. Oh, we forgot to close the door after the flooding was over. Russia is planning a Kherson Oblast referendum or on whether it will join the Russian Federation. I've read some analysis on the counteroffensive of Ukraine. And it looks like Ukraine is sending a lot of people to kind of penetrate through here toward Kherson. But the intelligence I've been reading about seem to be that basically they're losing a lot of troops in doing so. They're getting bombarded by the Russians and they are still headed toward Kherson despite losing many men on the way. So I don't know how it will end. But in any case, this particular Gab was talking about the fact that there would be a referendum to join Russia for this Kherson region here. So it includes both regions that are considered part of the counteroffensive. But at the same time, it would allow Putin to say, all right, we're going to defend now at this line precisely. And we're going to defend going forward as being part of Russia. And he was saying that there are 76.6% Ukrainians in this oblast, 20% Russians, and 3.4% other ethnicities. And he was saying, I don't know how they plan to win. Maybe the soldiers will vote. Well, in a time of war, I'm not sure that the census matters much. There may be a lot of Ukrainians that have left. There may be a lot of male Ukrainians that have been taken from this area and that have been joining the forces elsewhere. Many of them might have been pushed out. Many of them might have been captured by the Russians. So, and of course, if Russia runs a vote, I would expect some degree of KGB style, you know what to vote for, intervention. So I think if Russia starts a vote, they will expect to win it by 95% or something like this. John Drake says 500 to 3,000 dead Ukrainians and mercenaries is what I've heard on the first day of the counteroffensive. Yes, I've been seeing these numbers from what, you know, these open intelligence groups on Telegram. I didn't report them because I don't want to report numbers that I cannot back up by multiple sources and combined with video evidence. So, you know, I don't report these numbers when the Ukrainian propaganda puts them out, and I don't report these numbers when the Russian propaganda puts it out. I really take what I can prove and I show it on the show. That's why I've decided not to share that intelligence piece. Firestarter says Ukraine war update, Kherson.
I would have been so scared.
Kherson offensive falls flat. Yeah, because I've seen those videos and they have videos of Ukrainian forces firing, and I'm like, they're firing on grass. So you see grass. And I'm like, that's the counteroffensive. This is a camera opportunity to say to the US, hey, we're doing a counteroffensive. Okay, so this guy, History Legends, says that it's falling flat too. So it's also my conclusion. Yes, I've seen this kind of maps. Yeah, it looks like he has consulted similar sources to what I've been looking at. So we'll see. It is my instinct that Russia can hold the forces off. And we haven't seen much progression. We have seen videos of explosions, but not revealing major Russian damage. And then we have seen claims of up to a 3,000 dead Ukrainians in this kind of... They're trying to make a queue and just go to Kherson, apparently, or toward that place. And it seems that it was basically a firing party for the Russian forces. And that will be the last news for tonight. Minutes before Biden gave vile speech, Bannon's house was swatted. Okay, so while the Joe Biden speech was going on, you know, opening the portal to hell in red and all. Meanwhile, the anonymous Antifa kind of criminals who adore the Democrats and adore this new fascism approach of the Democrats were actively participating to creating a false call to the police to get Steve Bannon in trouble. He has been swatted just before the Biden speech, apparently, just like Marjorie Taylor Greene has been repeatedly swatted lately. Well, that is the kind of harassment we will have to face, and I had to face that kind of harassment, not swatting, but harassment using state forces more than once, and communicated by political opponents or people who hate me for my ideas. That is just what we have to go through in a hellhole of leftism as we currently live in. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for joining me on the chat. Ariel Suarez says, Sam Hyde's predictions are becoming true at an increasingly alarm rate. What is it? What was his prediction? His prediction from the TEDx conference? I don't remember what he was joking with. Keck Lord tells me a news I wasn't aware of. He says, thoughts on Cloudflare, Kiwi Farms takedown. Not sure if you already talked about it. I didn't know. I am super happy because Kiwi Farms is a hellhole of creator harassment. They are invading people's private lives. They are coordinating to get info about you. And I would want this website to be off the internet, preferably. So anything that progresses toward that direction, I celebrate fully. Kiwi Farms simply does not have TOS that would protect people against violence, people, and I'm not talking here insults. You can make your forum and insult me all you want, no problem. But Kiwi Farms is a different thing. They attack your personal life, they find your family, they share private details for the purpose of harassment. So no, I'm totally fine with Cloudflare banning them. I applaud Cloudflare. Good job. Keep it up. Bye-bye, everyone. See you all tomorrow.